My name is Josh. I'm a member of the church here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm from Zimbabwe. My wife and I come here. We have two little kids. I work for Friends International. And I was asked just to fill in a gap in the preaching this week. And when I was asked, I was reading the book of Proverbs, and we were studying it as a staff team. And I was just reminded again just how rich the book of Proverbs is for wisdom for life. At about the same time, I'd been thinking about a story Jesus tells about a rich man. And this man has a good crop, he's a farmer, and he gets the crop and he thinks, I've got too much for my barns, and so he builds bigger barns. And the warning to the man is that God sort of taps him on the shoulder and says, you fool, tonight you're going to die, and then what's going to happen to your big barns? And the point of that parable is not talking first and foremost about money. It's more about where the man's heart was. He had invested so much in things of this world that he wasn't considering God. But there's a question on the edge of that parable which I've been thinking about. What should the man have done with his money? What is the way to deal with money as Christians? Money is a reality. And so we ask, well, how do we deal with money as a key part of modern life in a way that honors God and protects our hearts? How can we safely handle money as Christians? What should the Christian attitude to money be? How does a wise person use money? Because money affects us all. It's a huge thing in our world, a big issue. There's huge disparity. We have the super rich on the one hand, and the extreme poor. 5 years ago, the richest 1% of the world owned 48% of the wealth. I looked up some stats just the other day, and right now, the top three individuals own as much as the bottom 50% of the world. By 2030, the top 1% of the world will own about two-thirds of the world's wealth. There's a huge disparity. The super rich who buy islands, and the extreme poor who live on less than $1.25 a day. In Cambridge, we have million-dollar houses and people who sleep on the streets. But it's not just out there in the world. It's also very much something in our lives. Materialism and consumerism is part of the air we breathe. There's a saying that goes, too many people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't want, to impress people they don't like. And it's very much part of our culture. It's very easy to shop online. It's very easy to upgrade to the next thing. And so for good or bad, we live in a world that requires money to survive. We use cash, credit, or capital all the time. We pay mortgages or rent. We pay bills or tuition, we take up subscriptions, we go on holiday, we give to various groups and people, we earn it, we save it, we invest it, we worry about it. And there's also money in our church. Money helps us run a church. And in large parts of the global church, in fact, in Zimbabwe, this is very much close to my heart, there's huge abuse of money in the church. The prosperity gospel is a huge problem in Zimbabwe and in large parts of Africa. And the idea is that there's this teaching in the church saying God wants you to be healthy and wealthy, and if you're not, somehow you are sinning, or you are part of, God is somehow punishing you for that. And they're perverting the true prosperity gospel. I'm a believer that there is a prosperity gospel, but it has nothing to do with money. Bible-believing Christians we are custodians of the true prosperity gospel. And so there is potential for abuse of money. And so the Bible says a lot about money. So we're going to go to Proverbs today and think about what God says our attitude and use of money should be. Now, before you go to Proverbs, we're going to be going all over Proverbs. Because Proverbs, there is no one passage which I think encapsulates the teaching of Proverbs. So, slightly controversially, I'm going to ask you not to open your Bibles. But everything's going to come up on the PowerPoint. And if you would like to get all the references, I will make that available so you can check. But it might be easier if actually you were just able to kind of see them as they come up, because we will be going all over the place. There are about 140 proverbs that talk about money in the book of Proverbs. We're not going to look at all of them. But the call in Proverbs is to get wisdom. So we're trying to see what does it mean to be wise. Now, Proverbs, they're meant to kind of poke us and make us think. So I hope that as we go through, I'm going to try and distill things a little bit and put a few statements out. But there might be just a few proverbs that really poke you. Just latch onto that. Because that's what they're meant to do. In some ways, they're not really meant to be put together into a kind of teaching that's systematic. They're meant to prod us. But I hope that as we do draw them together, it makes us think a little bit. So proverbs are not absolute statements. They're general statements about reality. They seek to drive home a point. But they're not always and everywhere true. So they may even have another proverb that balances them out. Here's an example. Proverbs 17, verse 8 says, "A bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers." And you might think, is this saying that bribery is good? Proverbs 17:28, just a bit further, says, "The wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the way of justice." So the truth there is that bribery is effective, but it's unjust. So they do sometimes balance each other out. So first we're going to go to the end of Proverbs and look at a foundational text, and then we're going to go through the book of Proverbs and look at a number of things. So Proverbs 30, 8 to 9. The poet says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of the Lord." He asks for neither riches nor poverty. But in some ways, that's not possible. I think we'd all like to be the kind of happy medium, you know, not so poor that life is difficult, but not so rich that things are tricky, so just right, just the kind of median in the middle. But this proverb is not talking about that. This proverb is trying to make us think and say, actually, the secret is contentment. Having what we need and not more. If we have lots, we might be tempted to say, well, I can solve lots of my problems. I don't need God. Or if we have little, we may blame God. And the Bible warns us that money can have huge influence on our hearts, because money is closely tied to faith. How we use it and our attitude towards it can influence how we view and treat God. So the two dangers are greed, materialism, and acquiring money. It can consume us. On the other hand, maybe not greed, but putting our trust in money, putting our trust in having a financial security for the future, and that can draw us away from God. The answer is to make sure that our use and attitude to money is in line with what God wants. Without any sense of having learned this, I very much feel that as I've been looking at this again, that my attitude and use of money, I know, is not what it should be. But I'm also very conscious that I'm coming from a different culture. So I hope as we go through this, you will with me just reflect on this, and I hope that I can present what Proverbs is saying here. So there's two main points that I think Proverbs is saying on money. The first, work faithfully to get money, but remember there are better things than money. And secondly, give wealth away. Remember, God loves to give. And I think these are unpacked in four statements about what the wise person is like. So the first one, the wise person works faithfully to get money, but knows it's only temporary. Proverbs is very clear about the importance of hard work. We need money to survive, and we trust that God will provide it. But that doesn't mean we just sit on our hands and expect it to come rolling through the door. Proverbs says, God's normal method of providing for us is through hard work. Thomas Edison said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work." And it's basically a modern version of Proverbs from the Bible that are thousands of years old. Proverbs 10, verse 4, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." 12, verse 11, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. Whoever is slothful will not roast their game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Proverbs is clear that money and wealth are earned through hard work, diligent and often slow. There are other places where it warns against hastily gained wealth. On the other side, there's a warning that laziness leads to poverty. So Proverbs 24, 30 to 34, "A man is walking past a field where nothing's happening, it's barren, it's not being worked, and he reflects on what he sees. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. And I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." And I have to be careful, a slight aside, this is not saying the rich are those who are hardworking and the poor are those who are lazy. In fact, we'll come on to that later. There are many reasons for being rich or poor, and we see later that injustice and corruption are a huge part of this. But for now, Proverbs starts off by saying, actually, hard work is right and good, and we need to watch ourselves. I wonder if this is an issue for us in Cambridge. Maybe, perhaps, possibly there's actually more of a culture of overwork in the city. But Proverbs says the wise person works faithfully to get money, but knows it's only temporary. Proverbs wants to warn us about trusting in wealth too much. It doesn't last. It doesn't last in this life. So Proverbs 23, 4 to 5, "Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven." Someone might work their whole life diligently and faithfully and yet lose it in a moment. Maybe something happens to the company. Maybe something happens to your house. Something may just happen, and all of those savings, that investment, that hard work is gone. It doesn't last in this life. It doesn't last in the next life. It will not survive the coming judgment of God. Proverbs 11, verse 4 says, "Riches do not profit on the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. When the wicked dies, his hope will perish, and the expectation of wealth perishes too." The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. One day we'll all stand before God, and he will not see if we've been rich or poor. He'll not judge us based on what we've earned. The one who dies with the most toys does not necessarily win. So we work hard to get money, but we remember, money is only temporary for this life and for the next. Secondly, the wise person knows that money has value, but understands there are more valuable things than money. I love Proverbs because it's very realistic. Money does have value, and as Christians, we don't need to be ashamed of that. Proverbs warns that we don't idealize poverty and being poor, and it warns that we don't demonize being rich. Proverbs 13, verse 22, talks of a man leaving an inheritance for his children. It's a blessing to have financial stability and security to pass on to your children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So we can work hard to provide for ourselves and for those around us. We can be good stewards of the money we have. Yet as much as we work for money and strive to manage it well, Proverbs wants us to understand that there are better things than money. Things like integrity. So Proverbs 28, verse 6, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways." When you're a person whose word is your bond, that is more precious than money. Or things like a good name. Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold." When people know you because you are trustworthy and dependable, when, particularly in our current climate, people know that you engage in discussion with those who differ from you in a way that is honorable, when you are known not for your status, but for your character. And Proverbs unashamedly says that wisdom is far more valuable than wealth. Proverbs 8, verse 10 to 11, "Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." And yet we don't stop in Proverbs when we think about the things that are better than money. We look to the New Testament and to Jesus saying, "Store up treasures in heaven," and in fact, all that God has given us in Christ. And we look to our salvation and the gift that our salvation is, the promise of eternal life, something that doesn't perish, that does last forever, the comfort and help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. These things, Proverbs points to as being far more valuable. So Proverbs says, work faithfully to get money, but remember, it's only temporary, and there are things that are far more important. But Proverbs also helps us think about how we use money and how we give it away. So the wise person recognizes that money is a gift from God, and so gives it away. Remember that first verse we looked at, where the poet says, "I want neither riches nor poverty," because he recognizes that all he has is from God. It's under God's control. He realizes that his life is in the hands of a sovereign God. So just as integrity, a good name, wisdom, along with the far greater treasures of salvation, come from God, so too money comes from God. We know that as God has given us, so we can give to others. In fact, Christians should be the most generous people because we understand all that God has given us, and we know that we are stewards of it to use it for his glory. So Proverbs thinks about giving money in two main ways. First of all, giving to God. So Proverbs 3, 9 to 10. "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Now notice that if we just take the first of these verses, there's an urgency to honor God as a way of, give to God as a way of honoring him. He is not saying, give to God and you'll get lots of things. He is saying, we give to God because we honor him as God in our lives, as the King in our lives. And it can be a real challenge. We're all in different places, but we can consider, well, how can we honor God with what we have? Giving to God, and then giving to others. This is the biggest section in Proverbs on giving to the poor and on justice and injustice when it comes to finances. And there's quite a huge motivation. Proverbs 19, verse 17 helps us with this. "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." Giving to the poor is like lending to God, and he will give you back. That's an amazing thought. I'm not quite sure how that all works, but isn't it amazing that God repays us in some way for how we give to others? What an encouragement to give. And then how to give, Proverbs helps us. Well, we give, first of all, with a generous heart, genuinely. Proverbs 23 says, "Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsels that you've eaten and waste your pleasant words." On the flip side of this, we should be genuine in our giving. There's no sense in giving with a hard heart. Proverbs is encouraging us that it's about how we view our giving and the generosity with which we give. Proverbs 22, verse 9, is an encouragement to look for opportunities to give. "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." Are we looking out for ways in which we can give for people who are in need? Or Proverbs 28, 27, "Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse." And oftentimes we see a need where we can help, and we maybe just walk past. Of course, we need to give wisely and thoughtfully, and in ways that help in the long term. The challenge is to see the needs around us, to not hide from them. And the promise of Scripture is if we give, God gives back to us. What an amazing motivation. And maybe he gives us in this life the kind of lesser treasures of this world. But maybe we know he gives us treasures in heaven. "Do not store for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Instead, we store up treasures in heaven." We give because actually God has given us the greatest gift of all, the gift of his Son coming into the world for us. And so we should feel free to give what we have to others. Finally, the wise person recognizes the danger of greed and instead pursues financial justice. We've heard of the dangers of money and having more than we need, making us feel comfortable and we don't need God. Here, Proverbs is also very practical in warning us against the other consequences of being greedy for money. So Proverbs 11:24, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer, another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. Giving makes you feel rich. Withholding makes you feel like you need more. Greed does also not gain us any friends. Proverbs 11:26, those who are greedy will not be liked by people. The people curse him who holds back, but a blessing is on the head of him who sells it. 21 verse 13, whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. I'm sure we can all think of the person in our lives who is generous, who has helped us in times of need. Someone who we think, when I think of a generous person, that's who I think of. For me, I think of my parents. And when you think of people like that, we know that if they are ever in need, we would do anything to help them. Because we know that they have been giving and they give to others. But beyond the practical consequences of greed, Proverbs makes us realize that actually God hates greed. In the Mosaic law, the law was given to the people to provide, in many ways, protection for the poor. So there was the sabbatical year that came around once every 7 years to kind of reset finances almost and help those who were struggling or in debt. They also had laws about leaving grain in the field so that those who didn't have access to those fields or had to work the fields could pick up extra to take home to eat. So the response to greed in our lives is actually to combat it by giving, by seeing those who are in need and giving away. One reality we spoke about earlier is that laziness will bring poverty, but actually a greater reality is that often social injustice and corruption bring poverty. Look at Proverbs 12:23. The fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice. There are people who work faithfully and hard for many years just to make enough to survive, and yet injustice takes it away. Are there things in our society that we need to speak up for to protect the rights of those who need it? Are there things in our culture that we need to challenge? Are there things in our companies and in our lives that we need to think about? Because finally, we're actually left with some very strong warnings from Proverbs. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. Proverbs 17:5, whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Do not move an ancient landmark or enter the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their cause against you. Their Redeemer is strong. Their Redeemer is God. God is saying that he is on the side of the poor, that God is the Redeemer of the poor. Finally, Proverbs 22:22, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. God is a God of justice. He cares about justice, and actually he's on the side of the poor, and he wants us to be too. The wise person recognizes the dangers of greed. It will hurt us in the end and we'll never be satisfied. God hates greed. He's on the side of the poor, and so the wise person instead pursues social and financial justice in protecting the poor, protecting the rights of those who don't have. God loves to give, and he wants us to realize that he's the provider of all that we have in life. But he's also given us riches beyond this life that nothing can compare to. Because of those two truths, in fact, we should be some of the most generous people in the world, because we know it all belongs to God anyway, and because we know that he has given us so much more in Christ. Often I think, as humans, we're simplistic in the way we think about things. We like to compartmentalize our faith, and often when it comes to money, we put money to a different way. Proverbs is very realistic, and it wants to kind of break those barriers and see how can we live wisely as Christians, handling money, which we need to, and we do, in a way that protects our hearts and honors God. The challenge from Proverbs is to have the right attitude and the right use of money. So we work hard for money, but we remember it's only temporary, and as valuable as it is, there are far better things than money. And we remember that the God we serve is a God who gives, and who gives. And that should motivate us in each of our circumstances, wherever we are, to look out for those around us. Proverbs says, don't let the world fool you with the promises of riches. They're only temporary anyway. Bible-believing Christians are the real custodians of the gospel of prosperity. In Jesus' death and resurrection, we're told we have all of the riches in this world, riches of everlasting security, the sweet comfort and companionship of the Holy Spirit in our lives, walking with us day by day, and the privilege one day of being with God in heaven, being with Christ and sharing in his glory and riches. As we seek to follow God's will for our life, let's not forget that looking to that future actually helps us stay on course and protects our hearts as we seek to live for him now. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word teaches us so much and is unapologetic about the realities of life. And Lord, I pray that as we've been thinking about these things today, that you would have worked in our hearts, and where necessary, Lord, you'd have helped us to tweak areas of life where we need to bring them under your lordship. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be generous, help us to be known for our generosity. Father, we thank you that you've been so generous to us, that you've given us your Son, Lord, and we can look to you and we can be completely satisfied in you. We pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we think about our finances and about the world around us and how we want to be living before you, to be faithful stewards of all that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.